looking into this subject called transformation, I want you to understand that God has a great plan in our life, and God is the one who does this amazingly. When we started this, we have been going through this subject, and we have been going through what God has wanting to our lives. Especially, I have been inclined to look at the Sermon of the Mount. If for those of you know, we have been going through the Sermon of the on the Mount, and we are looking into the Sermon of the Mount. So as you see here, you know, when Jesus started his preaching, he started putting out a preamble of the kingdom of God. God wanted the people to understand what the kingdom of God looks like. He was not trying to get a group of people just to be with him, but to get a group of people, transform them and make them his disciples. That is what the purpose of Jesus was. So we understand that at the beginning part of Jesus' ministry, he spoke to the people. And when Jesus spoke to the people, this was to transform us in different ways. So if you have been following this series so far, we have started with transformed in our worship. We looked at Matthew. If you have your Bible, open to Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 8 and from 16 to 18. I started with a topic called how we can be transformed in our worship. That worship includes giving. Worship is not just singing a song in the church. Worship is when we give to the Lord. So it starts with giving. It starts with praying, and it starts with fasting. So we started how we can become transformed in our worship. Then we went into transformed in our prayer. We looked in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 15, where we looked at the Lord's Prayer and said, how can I be transformed in my prayer? And then from verse 19 onwards, we looked at how we can be transformed in our possessions. How we have things, what is our outlook, our perspective about the things that God has given us. We need to get a transformation. We read that from verse 19 to 24. And then the last time we looked at how we can be transformed in our plans. The plans that we make. Matthew chapter 6 verses 25 to 34. So we have been going through the series of getting transformed. And my desire is that when we hear the word of God, our life should change. Our worship should change. Our prayer should change. Our priorities should change. And even our plan should change. It should align with God's plan. Amen. So today, as we are in the presence of God, I want to follow up and continue with the series. We are going to turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and we are going to look at verses 1 to 12. And today the topic is transformed in our actions. When everything else inside gets transformed, our outside will get transformed. We don't behave like the worldly people behave. So if you are behaving in this manner, understand that there is something wrong in our attitude and our perspective of how we do things. So we need to be transformed in our actions. I want to read from Matthew chapter 7. If you have your Bibles with you, please follow along with me. Matthew chapter 7, and we are going to read the first 12 verses of Matthew chapter 7. The words of Jesus, this is in red color, which means that these are the words that Jesus spoke. And this is what Jesus says: judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank in your own eye? Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Verse number 7. And Jesus changing the subject here. And he's saying, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks, to him who knocks, it will be opened. For what man is there among you who if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Amen. Amen. May God add his blessing to this word. Can we close our eyes? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we are in your house and we thank you for the word that you have already spoken to us, Lord, that when we question, Lord, we can come to you for help. This morning, Lord, I pray that, Lord, our actions may be transformed into the way that you want us to act. Our perception may change. Our attitudes may change. The words that we speak out may change. Lord, behave as the children of the King. I pray that you bless us all. This morning, I pray for the offering and the tithe that that your people have given, Lord, for the work of God. I pray that you bless each and every one, Father, this morning. Bless us together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please have a seat. Thank you, Lord. So good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Let me start with a true story that happened. It's about a lady who was always in the church at 6 o'clock on Saturday morning. She would wear an old faded jeans, an old t-shirt and a slipper. And she always is in the church at 6 o'clock on Saturday morning. She comes to clean the seats, arrange them, decorate the pulpit, and clean the whatever the place is dirty, she would come and clean the place. For 6 years, she never missed a single Saturday to come to clean the place. One Saturday, a young man in a suit walked into the church while she was arranging the chairs. He went and sat down watching as this lady was working in the church. He thought within himself, this was an unfortunate lady who probably had not got anyone to take care of her schooling. Now probably she may be an orange seller outside, or maybe she must be a trader trying to struggle to make her ends meet in the market stall. And as he was watching, his heart felt that he felt what God wanted him to do. So he felt a compulsion. And that's why he thought, that's why God brought me to this church, because I didn't know why I came here. So he went back to his car and he took out two $50 notes. And when this lady completed her work, he went to her. He told her, you did a great job. And he gave her the two $50 notes to her. She respectfully declined the gift, but instead she tried pressing it back to his hands. He asked if she lived close by, if she needs a lift, if she's going to be late for something. And she thanked him and said, no, don't worry, my car is outside. But he did not understand what she was saying, that a car is outside. And so he walked with her, trying to understand how God wanted him to change her level of life. And as they walked to the outside the parking lot, he was telling her, you know, how God worked in my heart, how God brought me to the church early to see you, maybe to help you, because, you know, God wanted to make a big difference in your life. He was so busy talking to her, he did not notice that when they came close, she, with her key, she opened up and clicked the car, and that was a brand new BMW, a car that she was going into. And it took for him a moment to realize that his beat up car is nothing close to the BMW that she had. And then she opened a driver's door and she gave him a card and said, brother, I think God sent you here for a purpose. Not to change me, but maybe to change you. And maybe to make you understand that everybody who does work that is in the church or does something, don't look and start judging people by the way they look. Many times, and that man was so astounded when he saw she was one of the richest person in that town. And she was doing it every Saturday without anybody telling her. She would come and clean up the church. Many times we think we do great work for God when we preach or sing or do something extraordinary. But God telling you, our actions reflect how we are in God's presence. And this morning I want to tell you that even the small things that you do for God, where nobody looks at you, God knows, and he knows that you are a child of God. Amen. The way we treat other people is the way how we feel how God is treating us. Many times we are very quick to criticize other people. We are very quick to judge other people. We are very quick to put labels on other people. And we are so quick to say that that person is no good, this person is no good, but I am better than anybody. But let me tell you, God needs to transform us. That our actions should be different. And God knows sometimes it is very difficult to deal with other people. But you know, when we our actions are good and in the sight of God, we can really do great things. So this morning, by the grace of God, I want to tell you three things that you need to remember when dealing with other people. Maybe it's a good thing for some of us who are not able to get along with others. Maybe you need to think, is the problem with other people or is the problem with us? Because we are sometimes so quick to judge, and the words that we speak, they are so hurtful. We hardly think, what am I talking? But you know what? Our actions and our words need to change. So from this passage, I want to tell you three things that Jesus wants in our life that we need to change. This is going to help everyone. My messages, I make it so simple that the smallest child will be able to understand it. And so take something from today and apply it in your life, and I'm telling you, God is going to bless you for that. So let me tell you three things to remember when you deal with other people. Number one, have a proper perspective. Our perspective should change. When you look everything with the dark glasses, everything looks dark. You think everything is dark, but actually you're looking through a dark glasses. Maybe it is time that you remove the glass that we are wearing and wear the glass of God, that we can look and see how God is looking at people. Many times we look from a different angle, but God looks at people from a very different. That is what we see when Samuel went to Jesse's house to anoint one of his sons as a king. He looked at all the big brothers and said, oh, he's good, he looks strong, he looks big. But God said, no, Samuel, no. You are looking at the outside, but I am looking at the heart. And God chose the youngest of them, who was not even in the lineup. God chose him to be the king of Israel. You know that sometimes, don't put labels on people. Don't be quick, and our perception need to change. So the first thing I want to tell you, Jesus has commanded us. It's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. Jesus has commanded us that we should not judge other people. Look to chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Jesus says, judge not that you be not judged. With what judgment you judge, you will also be judged. With the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. What did Jesus did not mean in this one? I want to make it very clear. Jesus did not mean that you should not form opinions of other people. You have your opinion. But very clearly Jesus says, you can form an opinion, but don't judge. Because if we do not have an opinion, if you look further down the verses 15 to 20, it says that you can see people and you can form an opinion. As he talks, he says about understanding a tree by the fruit. He's speaking about knowing what a person doing. That is an opinion. That is a fact. But when we judge, we have a prejudice. We have a colored way of looking at things, and we speak out our things also without thinking. So he did not mean that we should not form opinion. Number two, he also did not mean that we should not tell somebody if he's doing wrong. He did not mean that. We are supposed to do that with a loving spirit. If you turn to Galatians chapter 6 verse 1, it says that if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. You should restore that person. Consider that you are also very likely to be tempted. That's why I'm very scared as a pastor. When I speak all that, I know that I am also likely to be judged, and a greater judgment will come upon me if I don't do what I'm speaking. So there is a greater accountability that God has placed upon me. And so when we tell others, we try to restore others, we need to do in a spirit of gentleness. But what did Jesus mean? He meant that we should not be hasty in judging other people. He meant that we should balance our judgment with mercy. God, we need to be like God, who did not judge. Very clearly we know that God, Jesus, did not judge the Samaritan woman who had five husbands and living in an adulterous relationship. Jesus did not judge the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. He just told her, go and sin no more, because he was a compassionate God. He looked and he knew the fact, but it was tempered with mercy. So that's the first thing. Jesus commands us not to judge others. The second thing is that we also need to remember, very important, we also have our own faults. Many times we don't look at our faults. We always pointing out to other people's fault. Here in verse number 3 to 5, Jesus uses an illustration. It's a very interesting illustration. He's speaking about somebody who has a splinter in their eye and you are carrying a big log. Just imagine, I want you to imagine right now, somebody walking with a log over there. What is a log? It's a big thing. You cannot even see clearly. You are carrying this log in your eye. I don't know how you can do that, but just imagine. Because I think it was like Jesus had a sense of humor. Imagine somebody carrying a log in front of the eyes, like some people with glasses, you cannot even see their eyes. Very dark, big ones. So he's carrying a log and he's trying to say, oh, I can see a speck somewhere in your eye. You know, you are carrying a big log. You tried. So Jesus is trying to tell, many times we have bigger problems, but we try to quick to judge, and we should not judge others. You know, before we judge, we understand that we should judge ourselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 31, the word of God tells us that if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. We need to understand that we are weak and we need to be honest with our own failures. We need to know when to tell somebody something. Let me tell you a personal story. Many times I share stories from my life so that nobody gets hurt. It's part of my experience. When I was young and I was very much in the Lord and I was very zealous, it was when I was in my 12th grade or something like that, just going to college. I was very much zealous, and for me everything was so, you know, I was going to church, I was reading the Bible, and then one of our appachans, one of our older uncles in the church, everybody knew, it was a known secret, but nobody would speak out. He used to smoke. How did people come to know? Because when he come to the church, you sit near him, you can smell the cigarette smell coming from his mouth, and then his lips also was turning darker and darker. So everybody knew that he used to smoke, and nobody would come and confront him. So one day, in my innocence, I was an innocent young man, and I said, one day after a fasting prayer in the morning, I told uncle, I want to talk to you. So it was in our home. So he said, what money, what? And I took him back to the house and nobody was seeing, under the banana tree, I still remember. And I told uncle, I have a word. I really feel, you know, please don't smoke. You're not a good example, I told him straight away. My dad is younger than him. My dad is younger than this uncle. He's an old appachan. Out of my lack of wisdom and understanding, I spoke, uncle, please don't smoke. You're not a good example. I spoke him clearly. Was it the right thing to say? Yes. But was I the person to tell him? No. That was the difference there. And then you know what happened? I don't want to tell you what happened after that. The word got around and it came to my dad, and it was a big problem in the church. Oh, how did that boy, that 15, 16 year old boy come and tell me this? How did he? Nobody's thinking whether he said it's correct or not. No, that's not. How did he come and tell me like that? It became a big issue and I had to go back. I apologized. I said, I'm sorry. I take back. Please don't feel offended. But you know what? Sometimes we have to understand how we speak certain things. We have to be very clear to point out other people's fault. But before you do that, remember, there are faults in our life. Maybe there are bigger problems. Our way of judging, we think some sins are big, some sins are small. But for God, many of the sins that we think are small are big. Like the sin of worry. We worry. That is a sin. Sin of unbelief. We do not trust God to answer. That is a bigger sin. The sin of lying. We lie as if it is just a part of our life. That is a very big sin. It is equivalent to, you know, in the Ten Commandments, all the sins, the ten sins, they are having equivalence. It says in Revelation, if you lie, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So many of the sins that we commit are also sins before God. And we need to look into our lives and see, what am I? Am I a perfect person? And we have to be very careful. The third thing I want to speak of is verse number 6. Look to verse number 6. You know, we have to be careful what we share with unbelievers. Sometimes Jesus here has described this, do not give what is holy to the dogs. So there are two animals mentioned here. One the dogs, other is the pigs. They were both unclean animals for Jews. They were not animals that the Jews had any regard for. And they were not valuable or sacred. So Jesus said, don't waste your time. When you see somebody is never going to change, just pray for them. Don't go and counsel. Because you know what? If you go, you will go into their level. If you go and try to counsel a pig, the pig will take you into the mud, and you and the pig both will look the same after some time, after he talks to you. And so don't go to that level, because never wrestle with a pig, because you both will end up like that, dirty. So we need to understand, we need to be very careful when we speak out to somebody. Be very careful in the way we speak. So I'm speaking about having a different perception when we talk. This is very practical things. I'm talking about practical Christianity. When we talk, let our words, nobody should say, this person has spoken wrong. Many times we hear something, we are quick to tell 10 other people. Let us be very careful when we speak, and let us not be judging other people. Especially in the presence of unbelievers. Let us, Christians, children of God, don't speak down on any other person. It is a bad example that we are putting. That is not what God likes in our lives. So three things, in the three things I mentioned, the first thing is, we need to have the proper perspective. Verses 1 to 6. Let us go into the second thing. The second thing that Jesus wants to tell us is, understand the power of prayer. Many times we think a prayer meeting is not important. You know why? Oh, it's just praying. But I'm telling you, the power of prayer is very important, because God promises to answer prayer. If you look at verses 7 and 8, it says, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. You know, dear brothers and sisters, there is nothing that cannot be achieved by prayer. If you look in your lives in the past when you prayed, God has answered so many prayers in your life. Even today, He is the same God, and He says, when you ask, you will receive. When you seek, you will find. When you knock, the door will be opened to you. Look at verse number 8. Everyone who asks will receive, and he who seeks will find, and to him who knocks, it will be open to you. And then Jesus gives an example, very simple for people to understand. Number one, he says, even unbelieving fathers give good gifts to your children. And to say that, he takes an example of a loaf of bread. In those days, in the time of Jesus, the loaves of bread was in the shape of a stone, like a large stone. That was how the loaf of bread used to look. And so Jesus was saying, if your son is asking for bread, will you give him a stone? Also, in those days, the fishes, like eels, they were looking like snakes. So if your son asks for a fish, are you giving him a serpent? Are you going to do it? As an earthly father, if you don't do it for your children, if the Heavenly Father, how much more He will give to His children when they ask of it. Hallelujah. So Jesus says that if you, as unbelieving earthly fathers, want to give to your children, so much more the Heavenly Father will give you when you ask it. You know, He says that He will give good things. Verse number 11 says, to those who ask of Him, give good things. You know, why can we not trust our Heavenly Father to provide our needs? Many times we are so reluctant to go to God. The Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 says, my God shall supply all your needs. Not all your greed. Not all your want. My God shall supply all your need according to His glory, riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But you know, sometimes our prayers does not go answered. I will tell you that also. On the other side, some of our prayers don't go answered. Why? Because sometimes there is sin in our life. Isaiah chapter 59 verses 1 and 2 says that God's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that He cannot hear. But what has separated? Your sin, your iniquities have separated you from God, and God has hidden His face so that He will not hear. So let me tell you, brothers and sisters, if you have sin in your life, no matter how long you pray, no matter how loud you pray, God is not hearing your prayer. God is not hearing your prayer. If you have sin in your life, you need to get rid of the sin in your life in order to for God to answer your prayers. There is one more verse that we read in Psalm 66, verse number 18. The psalmist says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Njan ende hrudayathil paavam karuthengil Yehova ende prarthana kelkathilla. God will not hear if I regard iniquity in my heart. So one of the things when we come to prayer to God, make sure that ask Jesus to cleanse us from all our sins, and God will give us the good things that we need in our lives. He will give us the good things. I'm telling you, you don't have to worry about what you don't have. Just trust in God and He will give you. He promises to give you good things. I want to tell you, how can you pray for people? So when we are praying, how can you pray for difficult people? Today I'll give you three things. How should you pray for difficult people? There are three things that I will ask you. This is the way you should pray. Number one, pray that God will change their hearts. Devam avada hridayate onna maatcham endu prarthikkanam. We need to pray that God will change their hearts. Number two, pray that God will give you the grace to deal with those difficult people. All of us have difficult people in our lives. Maybe in your workplace, maybe in your family, maybe among your friends, your neighbors. There are difficult people in your life. You need to pray that God, give me the grace to deal with them. But more importantly, number three is what I want to tell you. Pray that God will search your own heart. And if necessary, God will change you. Change your perception and that you can pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That we can pray to the Lord. You know, let God fight His fight your battles for you. This is, you need to trust God. Father, you fight my battle. Give your battle to the Lord. God, Jesus says, bring your burdens to me. Don't fight your own battles, because you have a Father at your side who is ready to fight each and every battle. So you don't have to think about and get dismayed about that. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, with the love of God, we are all the time confronted with lot of challenges in our life. Many of the challenges God does not expect you to overcome on your own. Just trust in God. Ask Him, Lord, can you fight this for me? You know, when you encounter something, whether it is your visa situation, whether it's your job, whether it is your children, whether it is your health, whatever your situation is, say, Lord, I cannot do it by myself. Can you do it for me? Hallelujah. And God will fight for you. Some battles are out of your hands, but if you turn them to God, you will be surprised at how He will work for you. Romans chapter 12, verses 19 to 21 is a good verse that I learned the hard way many times. It says that, beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, the Lord says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So what God says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. When you do that, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Beautiful. Hallelujah. I love it. Hallelujah. You know, when you are facing difficulty, ask God, Lord, you change their hearts, Lord. And ask me, Lord, give me the grace to deal with them. And also, Lord, change me. Change me in the way I confront and deal with those people. Hallelujah. So I have spoken you two things. The first is change your perspective. Number two, the power of prayer. And now I want to tell you the third thing. Follow the golden rule of the Bible. Follow the golden rule. Jesus has given a golden rule. Many other religions have rules. Do this, do not do this. But the Bible speaks about a golden rule. Look to verse number 12. I'm going to close here now within a minute. It says that, therefore, as he closes up this portion, he says, therefore, children, please, all of you, pay attention here. All of you, please pay attention. Therefore, he's concluding that and says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This is the law and the prophets, the net sum or summary of the law, the Old Testament law and the prophetical sayings. If you condense it together, this is what God wants us to do. It's the golden rule. Do unto others what you want them to do unto you. Very powerful. If you live by that rule, I'm telling you, all your problems will be resolved by itself. And God is going to bless you abundantly. If you live by that rule, God is going to bless you abundantly. I will give you a real example as I'm closing here. How many of you have heard about J.C. Penney? I know all the ladies know, all the men also. J.C. Penney, the man behind whose name all the stores are. Do you know his story? When J.C. Penney was a young boy, his father taught him from Matthew chapter 7 verse 12. And this is what his father said. And this is the golden rule of J.C. Penney or James Cash Penney. This is what his father said. Son, if you follow the golden rule, you will live a great life for the Lord and God will take care of you. This is what his father had told J.C. Penney when he was a young boy. Do you know that this saying lasted a great impression in his life? And then years later, J.C. Penney started a store, one store, which became a chain stores. Initially, you can see, they called it the Golden Rule Store. The Golden Rule Store. J.C. Penney Company. At that time, they had only 48 stores. But this rule was in J.C. Penney that he engraved into the hearts of the people who worked in J.C. Penney stores. Do to them what you want to be done. So if a customer walks in, think about you coming in. What do you like the sales guy to tell you? How you want them to approach you? You do to that person. And this is how he started the store. Today there are more than 1,000 J.C. Penney stores all across the country. Still going strong. Because he followed the golden rule. Do unto others what you would want them to do unto you. He treated his customers, his associates, the way he wanted to be treated. God blessed his business. So what God did in the life of J.C. Penney and his business he can do for you if you are able to take that verse and start applying in your life. I want to share with you three ways how you can apply the golden rule in your life. It means that we should serve other people the way that we want to be served. Serve other people. Respect other people as you want to be respected. Forgive other people the way you want to be forgiven. Love other people the way that you want to be loved. Do unto others what you want them to do unto you. We are the children of God. And this is the golden rule that Jesus wants us to adopt. Do unto other people what you want them to do unto you. If we apply this rule in our church, you know what will happen? There'll be no more church fights. We'll all be loving each other all the time. We'll love each other more and more. And when we start loving each other, what happens? Other people will take notice. And they will know, oh, these are the disciples of Jesus. You know, that is what Jesus meant in the new commandment. What did Jesus say? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. And if you do that, all the people, when you're talking all, it means other people outside will know that you are my disciples if you start loving one another. The problem is we don't love other people the way that Jesus has loved us. We are not willing to forgive other people. We keep grudges inside our minds. We don't want to associate with other people. You know, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, one of the things he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. For whom was he praying? For the people who put him up on the cross. Jesus hanging there praying for the people. If Jesus has become our example, brothers and sisters, follow this example in your daily life. Have a good attitude. Have a good attitude when you look at and talk to other people. And I want you to be like Jesus in the way that we are doing. Praise the Lord. I'm just praying that God through this series will transform us. Many times, no matter how much you preach, it's just like I told Nisi the other day, like water going on the duck's back. It just flows out. No impact for the duck. The duck will just shake itself. All the water gone. He is as before. No change. And today we heard the example of Brother Sunil as he spoke about, you know, we have to be like that coffee beans. We have to give that aroma to the people around us. When we go through difficulty, don't be like that egg. Don't be like that egg that becomes hard and hard and it is only not good for anybody else. We need to display that aroma to the people. So today let God transform us in our actions. Let God renew us. Can we all just close our eyes for a moment? I want you to pray to God. Today, Lord, if the Lord has spoken to you, if there is something in your life that you think that you need to set right, if there is a forgiveness that you need to forgive somebody, if there is a lack of love in your life, if there is something that you are not willing to serve other people. Remember the story of that lady in the BMW. She had everything. She didn't need to come to the church. But she wanted to serve God in a capacity that nobody sees her. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, true Christian living, true discipleship is doing things for God, not to please other people. Not because what the pastor is going to tell me or what other people want. You need to serve God in whichever capacity God has put in your life. Let us not be critical of other people. Let us not always criticize, because when we criticize, remember, Jesus says that same measure, He is going to measure us also. Hallelujah. Can we just pray to the Lord? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can we just tell to the Lord, Lord, you deserve all the glory. Can we just give all the glory to God? Can we just say, Lord, you deserve all the glory. You deserve all the honor. Hallelujah. Can we all just stand up on our feet as we are going to sing? I want us all to worship God for some time. Every one of us. I want you to forget a little bit about where you are standing today. And just worship God. Say, Lord, you deserve the glory. You deserve the honor, Father Lord. You have done something amazing in my life. I want to give the glory back to you. I want to be the way that you want me to be, Lord. Lord, you changed my life. Changed my attitude. Changed my the way I talk. Changed the way I think, Lord. Make me more like you, Father Lord. Make me submissive. Make me humble before other people. Let me not stand up and declare, I am great, O Father. Can we just pray? Can we all just pray for silently in our hearts? Every one of you. I want us all to pray silently in our hearts.